بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. This is the continuity on the matter of rulings and oaths, and we have reached class or discussion 8, and this is the second type of the we remember the categories of oaths, and the first was the unintentional, the second was al-yamin al-ghamus, the ghamus oath, and the third is the one we discuss tonight is the expiated oath. And this refers to the oath that is established, to an established oath made earnestly. This necessitates kafara, expiation, if the person breaks the oath, meaning if he makes an oath on a matter to be done in the future or not to be done, then this is an established oath, and it is if it is broken, then it is incumbent upon the individual to expiate. And the evidence for this is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 89. قال الله تعالى لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان فكفارته إطعام 10 مساكين. الآية إلى قوله تعالى ذلك كفارة أيمانكم إذا حلفتم. Allah will not punish you for what is unintentional in your oaths, but He will punish you for your deliberate oaths, for its expiation. A deliberate oath is to feed 10 poor on a scale of the average of that which you feed your own families, or clothe them, or manumit a slave. But whosoever cannot afford that, then he should fast for 3 days. That is the expiation for the oaths when you have sworn, and protect your oaths. Thus Allah make it clear to you his ayat, his signs, proofs and evidences, that you may be grateful. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says إِذَا حَلَفْتُمْ. That is the expiation for the oath when you have sworn. When you have sworn, meaning if you break it, then in this case the determined or the deliberate yameen oath is to be expiated. And the expiation is given. And we will talk about the expiation and the forms of expiation later. Now this is from the Quran, and from the Sunnah is the hadith of Abi Musa radiyallahu anhu, and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, inni wallahi insha'Allah la ahlifu ala yameen, by Allah, and Allah willing, I don't swear and make an oath on something, thumma ara ghayraha, then I see something other than it, meaning the matter, khayran minha, better than it, better than this oath, except that illa kaffartu an yamini wa ataytu alladhi huwa khair, except that I expiate my oath and do that matter which is good. So therefore this hadith is apparent that al-yamin al-mukaffara, that the expiated oath is relevant to that related to something in the future, related to something in the future, meaning the deliberate oath. Now, the second matter we need to discuss is the conditions which will entail expiation. Because not every oath necessitates the consequences entailed on the oath or by the oath. There are conditions that are to be met in order that the person is held accountable as to the what is entailed by the off. The first one is sanity. First one is sanity, which is al-aql, first condition. So if he is insane, then his oath is not considered. This is by agreement amongst the imams of Islam and the four imams of Islam, and the evidence on that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the one we have recited earlier. لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان. And with respect to the insane, the oath, Allah will not punish you for what is unintentional in your oath, but He will punish you for that which is deliberate of your oath. And with respect to al-majnoon, the insane, the oath is not valid from him because he doesn't have a considered intention. No. Also from the sunnah is the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثَةً. The pen has been lifted from three, and from them he mentioned the insane until he recovers, meaning from his sanity. And because also al-majnoon, the insane, is not addressed by the legislative addressing, it is not accountable, it is not responsible. Also in the same category is the one who is asleep, or the one who is intoxicated, meaning in a state or a drunk. Yeah. The second condition is puberty, al-bulugh, reaching the stage of puberty. So it's in agreement that if he is not, if he has not reached the age of discretion, then in this case his oath is not considered to be valid. And if he has reached the age of tamiz, discretion, then the majority of the scholars are on the opinion that his yameen, his oath, is not considered to be established. They cited the early citations we gave you earlier regarding al-majnoon, the insane. And this is the preponderating opinion, and Allah knows best. The third condition is to some scholars is Islam. I mean, he must be a Muslim. And this is to some scholars. And now, the other opinion that the oath by a kafir is valid, and therefore the kafara, the expiation, is binding upon him if he breaks the oath. And the evidence on this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 106. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا شَهَادَةُ بَيْنِكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ حِينَ الْوَصِيَّةِ اثْنَانِ ذَوَى عَدْلٍ مِّنْكُمْ أَوْ آخَرَانِ مِنْ غَيْرِكُمْ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَأَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةُ الْمَوْتِ تحبسونهما من بعد الصلاة فيقسمان بالله إن ارتبتم لا نشتري به ثمنا ولو كان ذا قربى ولا نكتم شهادة الله إنا إذا لمن الآثمين. Oh, you who believe, when death approaches any of you and you make a big quest, then take the testimony of two just men of your own folk or two others from outside. If you are traveling through the land and the calamity of death befalls you, detain them before both after Salah. Then if you are in doubt about their truthfulness, let them both swear by Allah, saying, we wish not for any worldly gain in this, even though he, the beneficiary, be our near relative. We shall not hide testimony of Allah, for then indeed we should be of the sinful. And in regarding the revelation of this verse, Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما related as in Sahih al-Bukhari volume 5 106 that a man رجل خرج رجل من بني سهم مع تميم الداري وعدي بن بداء فمات السهمي رضي الله عنه بأرض ليس بها مسلم فلما قدم بتركته فقدوا جاما من فضة مخوصا من ذهب فأحلفهما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم وجد الجام بمكة فقالوا ابتعناه من تميم وعدي فقام رجلان من أوليائه فحلف لشهادتنا أحق من شهادتهما وإن الجام لصاحبهم قال وفيهم نزلت هذه الآية يا أيها الذين آمنوا شهادة بينكم إذا حضر أحدكم الموت. This is in volume 4. نعم volume 4 volume 4 chapter 36. A man from the tribe of Bani Sahm. A man from the tribe of Bani Sahm went out in the company of Tamim al-Dari and Adi bin Badda. The man of Bani Sahm died in a land where there was no Muslim. When Tamim and Adi returned with the property of the deceased, they claimed that they had lost a silver bowl with golden engraving. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made them take an oath to confirm their claim. And then the bowl was found in Mecca with some people who claimed that they had bought it from Tamim and Adi. Then two witnesses from the relatives of the deceased got up and swore that their witnesses were more valid than witnesses of Adi and Tamim, and that the bowl belonged to their deceased fellow. So this verse was revealed in connection with this case. O who you believe, when death approaches any one of you, then take the testimony of two just men of your own folk to the end of the verse. So in this, therefore, it is evident that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Tamim and Adi, and both of them were Christians then, to swear by Allah. Now also from the Sunnah is the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that Umar, his father radiallahu anhu, made a vow in Jahiliyyah, mean when he was a disbeliever, that he will make i'tikaf, seclusion of worship, in one night in al-Masjid al-Haram, in the sacred masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded him to fulfill his vow. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari, fulfill his vow. And also from the Sunnah is the hadith of Al-Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man from the scholars of the Jews was called upon and he was asked, أُنْشِدُكَ بِالَّذِي أَنْزَلَ التَّوْرَى عَلَى مُوسَى. I ask you by the one who revealed or sent down the Torah upon Musa. Also, they argued that the kafir's divorce is considered, and his monumenting of a slave also is considered, and so therefore his oath. Some of the scholars are with the opinion that the kafir is to make an oath by the one whom he magnifies. By the one whom he magnifies. Uh, The correct opinion, in fact, that it is incorrect, that this is not permissible, because he can make any of his magnified and swear by his magnified deity and be lying. So, therefore, with respect to, for example, the people of the book, they are asked to, in this case, to swear, for example, by the one who sent the Torah on Musa, by the one who sent the Gospel upon Isa. No. In this case, that is considered. Now, the fourth condition, is choice, having the choice. Because if the person is compelled or committed a mistake by hastening on his tongue an oath, like for example, if he intended to say, "Give me water," but instead he said, "Wallahi la ashrabul ma," by Allah I will not drink water, in this case his oath is not established. And this is the majority opinion, and it is the preponderating opinion, Allahu A'lam. And the majority, as to the evidence, they cited the verse in Surah An-Nahl, 16:106, في قوله تعالى إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان. إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان. Whoever disbelieved in Allah after his belief, except him who is forced thereto, and whose heart is oppressed with faith. So they are good if the one who is compelled on kufr, on disbelief, there is nothing upon him in terms of the punishment, because he is being compelled. There is no effect. So therefore, the same is applicable upon the one who is compelled to make the oath. Is this understood? In addition to this, is the evidence is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأُ وَالنِّسْيَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardoned my ummah for its mistakes and forgiveness and forgetfulness. وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ, and as well as that which they are compelled to do. Now, the fifth condition is commemoration, recollection, a dhikr, commemoration or recollection. So if the person forgot, you know, in this case the oath is not established, and this is the majority opinion, and this is the preponderating opinion as well. Is that clear? This is the fifth condition. And the evidences they cited are like first, the first evidence is the evidence concerning the one who is compelled, that the yameen is not established for him, and this is also taken as and evidence. The sixth condition that the matter upon which the oath is made, upon which the oath is related, or for which the oath is made, it must be possible, must be normally possible. So for example, if he swears on something impossible, normally impossible, like for example, if he swears to fly in the air, or to change the stone into gold. And the preponderating opinion regarding this matter is that his yameen is not established. His yameen is not established. And the seventh condition is is uttering the oath. Uttering the oath, the utterance. So therefore, whispering, self-talk, etc., is not considered with the majority of the people of knowledge, because of the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِأُمَّتِي مَا حَدَّثَتْ بِهِ أَنفُسَهَا مَا لَمْ تَتَكَلَّمْ أَوْ تَعْمَلْ. Allah has accepted my invocation, as in one narration, to forgive, Allah to forgive what whispers in the hearts of my followers, unless they put it in action or utter it. Unless they put it in action or utter it. Yeah. With the majority of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's a must to make the utterance heard by the individual himself. But the preponderating opinion is that sufficient is the utterance. That hearing the utterance is not conditioned. Also, with respect to the, for example, the signal by a dumb person regarding the oath, then it is considered with the majority of the scholars. Writing the oath is not an explicit matter. Is not explicit. So, because it is possible, like if you write the oath, Wallahi la af'al kada, by Allah, I will not do such and such. This could be taken, it's possible to be read as this is a khabar, information. And or that you are trying a pen, or you are trying some ink, and others. So it must be explicit. So the writing in this case is considered not explicit. This is the third category, and inshallah ta'ala, in the next talks we will talk about the exceptions in the oaths, the exceptions in the oaths, and the types of the exceptions. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira.